Thank you, Mr. Graves. Ms. Aaron, if you'd like to answer that.
Yeah, I'd like to answer that. First of all, there are a few things that are highly confidential on nonprofit boards. One is contract negotiations and during the time that contracts are being negotiated. The other are personnel issues. There are some other very confidential that...
We are identified to know that information as well. You could put us in executive session to provide that information.
Excuse Mr. Reyes, please don't interrupt.
All right. Anyway, to answer some of your questions, theoretically speaking, without giving specific details of any specific contract negotiations or anything like that, there are three options, as I see it, or three possible options. One is bankruptcy. Now, if we go into bankruptcy, what will happen is, according to our bankruptcy attorney, it will cost us between $750,000 and $1 million just for the bankruptcy alone. Without a loan, we really don't have any operating capital. So what will happen is the cost of the bankruptcy itself will have to be taken out of the revenue of the stations, paralyzing the stations, because I estimate that within the first 6 months, the bankruptcy fee, costs will probably be about $500,000. That is because all the creditors will be on a committee of creditors, and they can force the foundation to hire accountants. All of their legal expenses will be paid by Pacifica, not by themselves. They will bill us back all the their own legal costs. They can ask for all kinds of appraisals of properties, all kinds of information. That will all be at the expense of Pacifica. And also there is our attorney fees. So for just to even start bankruptcy, we will have to pay $150,000 retainer to a bankruptcy attorney. So bankruptcy is extremely expensive, and that's extra debt added on top of the debt we already have. In bankruptcy, because our assets far exceed our... Okay.
The bankruptcy, I explained it.
Okay. Does anyone want to hear this?
Yeah, it's about three options. Do you have possible...
Well, this is a possible option, is bankruptcy. It's very expensive. I'll go on. The next option is possibly negotiating with Empire State based on a signal swap or signal sale. So there is some desire on the part of some people in Pacifica to sell a radio station. However, as far as I can tell, there are no very good offers for the sale or swap of any of our radio stations. The ones that are being considered, I don't even know if I want to go into that.
Well, Can I?
Go ahead. You take it over.
Okay. So I think the really important part of your question, as far as I got it from you, is like, why aren't we telling the LSB? And why isn't the LSB being kept informed? I think that we might be able to discuss this, but it would have to be an executive session. So, you know, maybe we should go into executive session. Everyone who's not on the LSB would have to be recused, or we would have to go somewhere where nobody else could hear this discussion. I think that's, to me, really the important part of what you're asking. So to go into any real detail, we would have to go into an executive session. I could, I think that it would be okay to say, because I think that this is, you know, it's kind of in the air, that the national board, hold on one second, let me just ask a question, because I'm...
Okay, I have an objection.
Excuse me. Okay, so let me just say this, that all of the things that you said, why aren't we doing this, this, and this, just to say that the National Board is absolutely considering all of those things seriously, that any of those things may be happening. okay? And just to put it that way, without going into detail, that all of those things are actually very seriously being considered, and they're all absolutely on the table.
Okay, thank you. That was 5 minutes of response.
But just also to say that no decision has been made, and one of the reasons that no decision has been made is that the national board is trying to look at all of these options, but the ones that you mentioned, plus some additional ones, are all absolutely being discussed, and there have been no decisions made.
Okay.
I want to say something.
Ms. Aaron, can
you wrap this up because I want to go on to our next person on the staff.
I just want to say that before even discussing these highly confidential issues with the local station board, even in closed session, I would need personally to have legal advice from an attorney because these are really highly confidential, and whether they've been leaked or not, we have the fiduciary responsibility to maintain confidentiality as on the national board. So I would want to have legal counsel advice about that particular thing.
Understood, Ms.
Aaron.
Thank you.
Ms. Eidman.
I just want to add something. Here it is. How's this? Is this on?
Good.
I have noticed that there seems to be a mailing problem that sometimes doesn't, things that I know because I looked at the to list seems to go to everybody, but many times people here mention, I didn't get that, I didn't see it, might be a spam thing, might be an internet thing, I don't know. But a few weeks ago, or maybe a week and a half ago, Sam Agarwal, through Jamie, addressed a letter. It was started with Jonathan Alexander to the PNB and then with requests that we forward it to the LSB and only discuss it in closed session. So I'm not going to mention anything that was in there. I respect that. But I will say our financial issues go far beyond $1.8 million. To the Empire State Building. And if this document can be retrieved, which breaks down various courses of action, and with some suggestion as to which ones would be had pros and cons, please do retrieve that, because it was a very excellent CFO level documentation of what I would have wanted to know. One thing did I wish to raise to here, however. In my email, and probably everyone else on the board's email, we got a communication from our GM, who is not here today.
I'm sorry.
That is correct. And it is her normal report to the LSB, and I read it with great interest, to put it mildly. There have been rumors that things in closed session at the PNB level might be towards getting approval for a loan. I was waiting to hear if that was official. But the thing that scared me that Christine said was that apparently the PNB has actually voted to authorize a loan, whether that's executing it or not, at least allowed the go-ahead. And here's the clause that I care about the most in Christine's letter. Against the strong opposition by the CFO, the IED, our legal and financial advisors. There are many approaches to avoiding bankruptcy and getting forbearance and other such things. I'm very frightened that the PNB is acting on its own best judgment, which over 10 years has brought us to this place. And I cannot imagine that.
Excuse me.
That
I think
okay, Ms. Goodman, please don't interrupt.
This is the kind of thing that we really need to discuss in executive session.
It was a GM report, which will be public information. That's why I'm saying it openly.
Okay. Do you have a question?
Yes. At this point.
And I believe that GM report was discussing things that should not have been discussed.
Then that's not my problem.
I understand it's not your problem.
And so all I'm saying is
LSB and not a public
document. Ms. Goodman will review that. I guess it's already out.
My problem is it looks like the PNB is not taking guidance from financial and legal professionals. And the PNB over 10 years has used its own best judgment, and it hasn't worked out very well. That's
okay,
all
Ms.
I wish to say.
What's the question for the directors?
What the bleep is going on?
That's 5 minutes on Roberta's report.
Okay, I understand. Of course, I understand everyone's deep concern about this. We should be concerned, and believe me, the National Board is concerned. The information you're missing is that the National Board has consulted with experts on these issues that you don't know anything about. It's true that Sam Agarwal is our CFO, and he's an expert CPA. However, we've consulted with a number of lawyers, and including bankruptcy attorneys. And so those experts are also weighing in on the PNB. However, you're not hearing about that information. There's a lot of information that PNB directors have been absorbing, and it's our responsibility to use our best judgment in these matters. And it's unfortunate that you can't weigh all of the information and you're just getting some of it. I just want to say that. So it's a very difficult time, and there's a lot of discord, of course, because these are situations that have been not faced or dealt with over many year period of time. And the National Board really has to face them, and none of the decisions are going to be popular or there's no great decision here. So
okay, thank you,
that's it.
I'm going to ask that the participants, because we're running over on this section, please keep their comments and questions brief and to the point. Mr. Velasquez, you're up next.
My understanding of the negotiations team regarding Pacifica's debt has a role to play. Has a role to play in terms of addressing the issue with the best knowledge and the best factual information at hand. But I also understand that there should be transparency from the negotiation team and the rest of us as board members, and that is not coming forth. Not even in the executive sessions, and I do object to that. My question is, what was said today is no different than what was said last month in the last LSB meeting. What was the negotiation team doing all these last 30 days that no results have been accomplished?
Well, I think that's been answered, that those negotiations are confidential. So I'm going to move on to Mr. Kaiser.
What we got right now is a problem with cash flow. What we are in possession of in Pacifica are assets, maybe somewhere between $100, maybe $200 million of assets. What we don't have is cash flow. We're trying to get to a situation where we can have enough cash flow to liquidate this debt because we got no choice at this point. I move that we schedule executive session for the next meeting, December 3rd, maybe an hour's worth, so we can hack these things out. I became aware that the PNB made a vote about where we're going to run the financing. Is that something confidential that shouldn't be raised at this point?
Correct.
Okay, so I shouldn't go into where they selected to get the mortgage? Okay. Well, I think we should have an hour-long executive session with just the board, and we can be privy to these points that have been kept from us.
I'm not sure how much can be devolved to an executive session. I'll leave that to the discretion of the directors. But I believe that an executive session is warranted next month because of the issue of the general manager search committee. So I believe that we may need to have more than an hour-long executive session next month.
May I ask the directors what it is that we are specifically not privy to on the National Board, just the National Board?
The things that you
in
can't
general.
Be privy to.
All those well, things that you're not.
Why are we not privy to that information? I mean, what is it in the bylaws that sections that off to the National Board only?
Okay, we will discuss that in executive session next month.
It's
financial and contractual issues.
Right.
That's what
and that cannot be shared with the LSB?
Correct.
Well, why not?
I, you know what? I also want to discuss with counsel exactly which things can and which things can't. And thus, I think that it'll be great to do this on December 3rd. It'll be sooner than we normally would be able to do it. But between now and then, we'll be able, some major decisions may be made by then that can be made public. And in addition, we'll have time to talk to counsel and figure out what we can talk about and what we can't talk about.
What is the controlling document here, Jan? Yeah. Is it the bylaws that keep the LSB from being part of the inner circle on this?
No, it's not. All you have to do is Google what issues have to be kept confidential by nonprofit boards of directors. This is California Corporation Code. It's also just the law of what directors on boards of directors must keep confidential. This is known. Anyway, just Google it.
I'm going to, excuse me, that is the end for this session. I'm going to move on to our treasurer's report and budget approval. We've allocated half an hour for this section related to the budget approval. Mr. Herring, you've got the floor.
Okay. I want to thank those members of the board who have attended Finance Committee meetings, which doesn't include various people. It does include certain people. I want to thank the board members for attending the Finance Committee meetings. But we could take a moment till the discussion ends over there so they have your attention. So I thank the people who attended the Finance Committee meetings, especially those who are concerned about it. And I advise in the future, if you have a concern about budgets or finance, attend the Finance Committee meeting. Okay, I want to clear up one thing. This budget was generated by the general manager and the business manager. General manager Christine Rosdale, the business manager Barry Brooks. Based on a template or a method of deciding a budget sent to them by the national office under the guidance of Sam Agarwal, the CFO. He designed the template, Barry Brooks implemented, Christine Rosdale made some decisions. It is not a budget that I generated. I hand it out now. By the way, you are all emailed 60 days ago or whatever for the last meeting, the budget with all the detail, all the expenses, an explanation of why there's an increase in revenue and income, and a thing called the estimator that Mr. Agarwal designed. And that was in the previous meeting. It was sent to you before the previous LSB meeting, which was on October 16th or 15th. And after that, I sent out another email with more explanation, soliciting modifications, questions, anything. Got zero emails. And I got one or two, I think one extra LSB member attending a finance committee. So here we go. We're really in the same place we were the last time I presented the budget. If you have questions about the details, you have to look into your email for the details on the expenses. It's very important because I'm like you. I'm not a CPA. I don't live for numbers. It's important to get an oversight so you can understand the general budget. The main figures are three: how much comes in, how much goes out, what's left over. You start with that. And a budget is just a plan for what you anticipate is going to happen and how you intend to spend your money or deal with it. What you're going to try to make, what you're going to try to spend, what you hope you have left over. It's just a plan. So I'm presenting you with a summary here. I took out lines that had no values in them, like from the full budget. There's no need in having an empty column, although there are still a few on here. And I simplified it, and I didn't give you all the details of the expenses. So at the bottom of the day, after a year, we would walk out with $307,000. There's also a thing with depreciation, which raises it. by 60, 65,000. But that's hocus pocus that you get from accountants. We would walk out with $307,000 cash if we can net $3,889,000 income and hold our expenses to $3,582,000. And the net, the difference is $307,000. So there's a list here of all the sources of revenue, and it's higher than it was last year. And the main thing to understand about that, which was distributed, is what the interim general manager proposed and has already implemented, and therefore in her implementation has shown that it has value. And it's more important instead of looking at the numbers to understand what's happening. There's the first concept, which probably is the most effective immediately, is to take advantage of high listenership and low donation. Something like a show that's very popular, but people doesn't bring in a lot of revenue during fund drives. So the IGM, who also happens to be in terms of promotion of promotional content for the fund drive, intercedes in those programs and co-opts their time, or replaces them, or at least that last half hour. So the audience is drawn by the first half hour, then she comes in with a pitch at the second half hour, and in certain cases has increased the revenue by 10 times. So that concept, whatever we call it, intervention, half hour, pitch at the end, whatever name you want to give it, is used at various times for programs that have audience but don't bring in revenue. That's one. The next is a concept of, because of the increased cost of the sale of living, cost of living, talk to your plumber or your dentist, you'll know what I mean. We're increasing our profit ratio on the premiums slightly by, let's say, 20%. And that's an experiment to see if that draws more revenue or, in some cases, lessens the income, the volume, and it doesn't give us as much money as we used to get. I think a 20%, we believe, or she believes, that a 20% increase in the cost of premiums will not deter the donations. Another action, which I consider personally very admirable, or the next two, is we're utilizing something we used to give away for free, which is called media sponsorship. At this point in time, because of the position called music director, Maggie LaPique has been working on this, and we have the revenues up to $5,000 a month from media sponsorship. That's when you go to the website and you see an advertisement in a banner about an upcoming musical event or theatrical event or fair or anything like that. And KPFK becomes a media sponsor. The sponsors used to get that, the clients or the events used to get that for free or next to nothing. Now we're raising the cost of that and increasing the value of the package in terms of other things we can promote by putting it in our newsletter, on our website, and other actions like that. So that's up to $5,000. Again, and that's already occurring. Another course is, and this has happened in the past, and a pilot project has already been done. We are the only radio station that offers its facilities available for filming. And we used to, and we're doing it again, offering our studios and our sound bays available for rent, for production. And that's another business. It's another source of income other than fund drive. I'm trying to think if there's another.
Is anybody involved in Maggie's group.
I think I don't have the list in front of me. I think there's one other method that I talked about in
just
the email.
Donor event in February.
Yeah, we're also doing better on our community events. They're better organized and we're tracing the money better, so we're getting higher income from that. If you've been to any of the public events, you see, take advantage of it to do an on-spot auction, anything to raise funds. And we have an event coming up in August. What did you say?
February.
A February event coming up, community events. So those activities and are increasing our revenues on various places. There's also a reinstitution or more activity on the car donations. And I'm just trying to think if there's anything else of major support. I'm trying to jar my memory here. Anyhow, there are two things at the last meeting of the Finance Committee. We passed a motion to include two new deficit items, two new expenses, excuse me, that are not on this budget. And I just want to say that, again, and we did change one thing on the budget, which was instead of 105 days or 110 days, we're up to 146 days, which is, you know, unacceptable. But at $27,000 a day, $146,000 will give us about $4 million. Take off the 15% lack of fulfillment, and then we got our $3 million for listener sponsorship. So that's why it's 146 days. But that is at the level where we get $304,000 net. So if we gross more than $27,000 a day on the average, it'll be less fund drive days. If the other sources of income besides listener sponsorship perform better, then we'll have less fund drive days. And if we say we don't need $304,000 net profit, that lowers the fund drive days. So it's all in, it's all dynamic, it's all an estimate. We should be reevaluating the budget every quarter to see if we're performing correctly or not, or we have to change. Budget is a tool. It's not a demand. It's not an order, because it deals with the real universe. You can't demand that people donate money. You have to make an effort to get it. And when, if you get more than you thought or less than you thought, you have to adjust what you're going to do with your money. So it's a working tool. And let's see if there's anything else. Oh, yeah, so there is two items that the Finance Committee came up with that we want to add to the budget, but this really should just be taken as a motion here. And then we want to add $20,000 for the upcoming election in 2018 for LSB members, and add $80,000 for legal expenses, because we had nothing in the budget for legal expenses, or we had an inadequate amount for elections. So that's adding $100,000. So that means we would net $204,000 instead of $304,000. And that's the extent of it. Just remember, this budget is from, based on a template by the CFO, implemented by the business manager with the guidance of the general manager. It didn't come from anybody on the LSB or any other committees or anybody outside, or the mailman, or the baker, or anybody else. It came from those people, and that's the source of this budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Herron. We are going to take questions from local station board members. I've already started a stack. Mr. Kaiser, Ms. Reason, Mr. Poor, Mr. Velasquez, and Mr. Reyes.
Yes.
One more. And Mr. Simmons.
Is there somebody actually?
One moment, please. I'm going to ask that members keep their comments and questions brief so that we can move to a motion to approve the budget. I understand that there's a lot of things that our board members feel passionately about and want to use this as a platform for making their statements, but I would encourage people to be brief and make your questions of our treasurer, allow him to respond so that we can move on with business. Mr. Kaiser.
Ken, is there somebody that's actually developing the studio rental aspect currently?
Yes, best of my knowledge, we already ran an independent film using the facilities. And that is under the tutelage of, it would be Maggie LePeak and Christine Blasdale. Okay. Christine Blasdale's doing a very professional job. She showed me in that business of renting out studios and spaces for film companies or people to do work, you have a production book which lists every service that you sell. It's not just the quarters. We may list a board op. We may list a hand to move the furniture or to move the equipment or to, you know, an engineer. So you itemize everything, and then when a company comes in to do a service and they want to borrow your speakers or your mics or the room and the board and the staff, and you build it up. So she's making that production book, and she's starting outreach. This is like a personal comment. This is an extra added effort on her part in addition to being GM, although You have to do a lot of things as general manager that fall underneath you if you don't have the staff to do it.
Are you getting $100,000 a year in car donations?
Well, that's...
Has it been running close to that?
One second. I'm just sure. Where is it? Oh, there it is.
It's the middle of the page.
Yeah, no, that's intended to get it. To look, I don't have.
Any idea what we've been running on that?
Yeah, I have to pull up my computer and look at it.
And one last point.
But I mean, I know that a properly run car donation can get up to that amount because it's working at that amount at other stations in this area. Maybe not with with more listenership than we have, but that's a realistic goal.
We expect the 2015 and 2016 financial statements from Pacifica.
That's a question for the CFO.
Initially, we were expecting 2015 in January and this coming spring to get the 2016.
Yeah, all I can give you on that is gossip. So, I mean, you would really have to. I recommend you send an email to Sam Agarwal. I think he's got a public address, like CFO at Pacifica or something like that. That's really in his bailiwick, because he's got the people who do that.
Thank you. Okay, Ms. Reason?
Yes.
No, Myla.
Myla
Reason.
Thanks. I have a follow-up, first of all. When you say that the car donation amount is a realistic amount, I'm just wondering whether you are aware of the formula for basically how you arrive at all of these revenue numbers, whether they're baked. Just a second. I just want to know, when you say it's realistic, do you say it's realistic because of historic donations, or is there some other justification for these numbers?
No, I do not have a legitimate evaluation of that. It's just on personal experience and talking with people at other stations who've run car donations. We've had people come in pitching, and I've talked to a woman who's doing car donations for two other stations and wanted to include KPFK and her thing. We don't do the car donations. You know, it's done by it's subcontracted out.
Michael,
so,
good information on this.
I would say that the best answer on that is going to be obtained on the internet. You know, finding out what's an average for various nonprofit radio stations, which I have not done the research for. So I just said that on personal experience.
Michael, our secretary, was actually showing me that it is comparable. Is that correct?
It's actually
running better than the $100,000. Oh, okay, good. Okay, great. Okay, now, this is actually, I just saw FY17 car donations, and they're actually comparable to what you're proposing.
Yeah,
so that's encouraging. Is there an item for the text-to-donate program? I didn't find it.
It is their computer.
Which
donations.
One is it?
Computer donations.
Oh, so but it's not necessarily computer donations.
Well, you listen on the website income. The website income, I don't think
so. Can you tell me whether that program has been catching on? Is it working? Is it starting to show more revenue?
No, I'm sorry, I can't answer that. Honestly, no. I've been negligent in that regard.
We've got the answer.
I've got an answer here. What is it?
It looks like it is,
What are the numbers?
So, well, this is website income, so this can be any number of things. It isn't. And I would really like to track the text-to-donate program.
Right.
But we don't have those answers today. Okay. You suggested that this is just a plan that's flexible and dynamic, and that it can be reviewed quarterly. And I would suggest that in a few months, that we actually devote a fair amount of time to reviewing the budget, if we approve it today, and make sure that that we really look at it closely. And I would suggest that for the entire local station board, that we actually, instead of you like just presenting a summary at the beginning, that we actually go line by line with some detail at the local station board level, because it really is one of our primary responsibilities to approve budgets. And I don't think that we're, you know, if we're just kind of working off of a summary and not going line by line, that we're really able to focus on the budget as we should be focusing on it. So I'd like to make that suggestion.
Time.
And, well, may I have a few more seconds, sir? Just a few more. Okay. I just wanted to ask again. You said that we had increased, proposed that the number of fund drive days be increased to 146 from what number? What was the previous number?
No, on the budget, initially the GM thought she was going to be able to do it 105 days. But, you know, we have to add in, not over-anticipate. The gross income, the number of pledges this October fund drive, which is the first month of 2018's fiscal year. Don't get confused. They just, for some reason, they run a fiscal year starting in October, and it goes through. So that's part of 28, fiscal year 28. It was 20% higher this year in October.
The number of days was 20%?
No. The average pledge income per day. So not just, you know, the days might be different. But the average per day is 20% higher this October than last October. However, we don't want to get too much hubris about how wonderful we are. So
because there's also the element of fulfillment.
There's fulfillment, which is 15%, and that seems to be charity-wise. You know, all charities, and that's because you lost your credit card and you forgot, and we didn't get the new credit card number. You know, you stop payments, there's various reasons why. Also, a lot of the money is on installments, so that takes time. But we get a 15% fall off, which is not outrageous. So, what's your question? The thing is, so we're just calculating. 145 times 27 equals 4 million. That gives us our 15% fall off, and then we're at 3.4, our target.
Okay, we have about 10 minutes left in this section, and we have about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more people on the stack. I would suggest that these questions, as Mr. Aaron suggested, are better addressed within the committee, because we could spend all day talking about our finances here, but really, if we want to know that financial data, it's incumbent upon members to attend the finance committee. Mr. Reza, you're next.
Yes,
please be brief.
I hope some of you could have this paper. The income is, you know, donation from community event. Who had community event in different corner of the city? Ian Master or a Spanish programmer? They brought money. You could read how much money the Spanish programmer were making, donating to the, you know, card donation and everything. It's not Ian Master. It's the people that they go to different corner of the city and they have, you know, program. I could name in every corner of the city. Please, all of you, look at this, you know, income, card donation, event.
Questions,
yeah.
Mr. Board?
My question is, you know, people, they pay attention. Is why they cut the Spanish programmers and they didn't cut the, you know, Ian Masters, 5 hours, the best hour. I'm sick and tired of this program. It's, the money is coming from a Spanish programmer. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Velasquez.
Very quickly, two questions to Mr. Aaron.
Fred, you did mention the money raised by the studios, money raised by raising the price of the premiums, and legal fees.
Legal fees is an expense.
Yes, you didn't mention those three things. According to your paper,
these numbers that you're presenting to us, are these pure speculation on your part, or are you based on previous records?
Could you please hold the mic a little bit away? I can't understand.
Why is it when it comes to us asking you questions, you always say that? What's up with that? Just listen.
The fact of the matter is that you cannot deal with the force of the idea coming at you, so you find another way to pick on us, on the accent or too close to the microphone, stuff like that. When you say so, that we have a personal disagreement on where we stand in Pacifica, say so, but, you know, you don't have to pick on how close we are to the microphone. Sir.
Straight to the topic at hand. All
I can say is thank you.
Thank you. Well, whatever you said.
You didn't get the answer to my question. Are you basing this data here based on your pure speculation or factual data from previous records?
As I suggested before, if you have a lot of interest in finance, I know you're busy on other committees, but if you can take the time to come to the finance committee, we can address all of your questions.
Mr. Reyes?
Yes. First of all, I'd like to admonish the chair for making excuses for Mr. Aaron in regards to his treasurer's report. I agree with Mala that we should have had a presentation line by line, you know, like we're in fourth grade. This way the teacher could actually explain to us what the numbers really mean. And for him to say, well, go to the committee. Well, I work, I'm a parent, and I do community work. So, and plus, you haven't announced committee meetings, and you haven't opened it to listeners. So how will we know when to go to a committee meeting? Plus, you know, I'm in school as well. So anyway, so this pie in the sky budget that you have, that you're basically sliding right through us, is pie in the sky. You were saying that the amount of fund drive days are going to be 146. So my question is that an estimate? Or projected amount of fund drive days? Exactly. And two, when you say your personal experience informed you on this budget, if you could just briefly state what your personal experience is in regards to informing you on this budget.
Okay,
thank you. Well, Mr. Aaron, just please note all committee meetings are posted on kpfk.org. have been for the last 3 years. So if you're interested in attending committee meetings, you are directed to look it up on kpfk.org meeting schedule. It has been posted.
KPFTX.
I'm saying kpfk.org as well as KPFTX. But KPFK is our radio station. We do post it on our own personal website.
Just for clarification, Mr. Chair.
Why we are allowed to ask questions after report when in fact when we ask the questions we are sent to a committee meeting.
You're allowed to ask questions. I'm just encouraging people to attend the committee meetings because...
Well, you should encourage the treasurer. I'm going to be out of order, Mr. You should encourage the treasurer to provide a presentation in regards to this budget instead of sliding it to us.
So what I'd like to tell people instead is tell me what I should do. I say, please don't shut up. Mr. Aaron, you have the floor.
Okay. I think very sincere that if someone talks like this, it's very hard to understand what they're saying.
Fudge you.
You're talking about
so. Fudge you. He's talking about me. Fudge you. And I'm going to take a point of personal privilege because this man has shown his white nationalism.
Mr. Reyes, you're out of order.
Answering and responding to questions.
Again.
It's science.
Thank you.
Mr. Aaron, please continue.
I appreciate that I was able to raise you to make an ungracious statement the way you raised me earlier. I was not referring to you. Anybody who speaks like this is harder to understand. So, thank you for your questions. My personal experience, I said, was based regarding the car donations exclusively. That's where I said my personal experience. But Myla Raisin pointed out that that's about the amount of money we earned last year. So it's a very realistic amount for car donations. Everything else, I explained the reasons that the general manager feels that this is a realistic estimate for revenue, and I concurred and tried to relay that to you also. Thirdly, You can vote the motion up or down, I don't think, to approve the budget. I don't think it's fair to go through all the details line by line with 24 people, because what that mandates is coming down to the lowest denominator. We'd have to go at the speed of the slowest person who understands it, and all 23 other people would have to go at that speed. It's much better for people to personally review this or come to a committee meeting, rather than hold everybody down to the speed of one person going through the material. That's my personal logic on it. So we go, I'm going here over the majority main factors, not the minimal detail. That can be handled in committee. And, there is one last thing. As I requested and tried to solicit cooperation for the last 2 months, if you have any suggestions about increased income or decreased expense at this time, let us know. Please don't keep it a secret.
Thank you, Mr. Barron. Mr. Simmons.
Can I ask you a question about the phone call, please? Projected.
Yeah, 146 days. What's the question?
Projected, right?
Yeah, it's projected.
Well, then, no. The fund drive days is a number like this. 146 times 27 gives you $4,088,000. Okay? So, I think it was 28. 146 times 28 gives you $4,088,000. Take off 15%, you got $3.488 million. So, if you can gross $4,888,000 and you lose 15% on fall off, you got $3,400,000. It's just mathematics. If we have to do 146, you know, somebody could say we're only going to do 20 fund drive days. Somebody could say we're going to do 200. I'm just giving you a number there. I'm not mandating how many days we do, because the number of days will vary by other sources of income, the actual daily average, and other things that we talked about previously during the meeting about unanticipated expenses and possibly unanticipated benefits.
Right. It's just a projection. We understand that.
Before we go anywhere, I just want to remind the chair that I just want a concurrence from the board on adding $80,000 for legal expense and $20,000 for election.
Well, after we go through the stack, we can address that. Mr. Simmons, please, you have the floor.
Well, I understand that I run the risk here of probably deviating from the norm and being out of order, but I actually have some...
You got a microphone?
But can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can.
But I understand that I actually have a substantive question, so I understand this will probably be boring. What was the FY 2017 number for the studio rental?
Lance, we got a mic for you anyway.
Well, what was the FY 17 studio rental figure?
Oops.
We just started.
Yeah.
So it's because this is just recently been implemented, we just started, so it would have been zero.
Okay, so we have no basis upon which to make a projection.
Yeah. And it's $84,000 in the budget, so it's...
Okay. So what are we projecting for 2018 based on the fact that we have no basis upon which to make a projection?
This was from the general manager, as our treasurer explained.
All right, what's the number for 2018?
What is the projection for studio rentals?
It looks like 84,000.
84,000.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure. I brought that to your attention. I'm not so sure what is in that column. In the miscellaneous, so I'm asking the treasurer, in the miscellaneous, media sponsorship, studio income, other income, of that 84,000 projection, how much of that is from studio rental?
You any idea on that, Ken? It's the last time.
Okay. All right. Here's the point. Regardless of what the number is, I would like to know what it is, but if we don't have it, we don't have it. Regardless of what the number is, I think that this offers us the most promising focus
of additional income, of additional revenue, than anything else that I see lined up on this sheet. So I would strongly encourage this board and the management to proceed with reckless abandon to develop that to its fullest. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Simmons. Ms. Aaron.
Okay. I'm also on the Finance Committee, and I'd like to say something. There is a possibility that there could be reduction in expenses. However, the only realistic place to cut expenses is in payroll, and that is very problematic because of our union contract and because we do not have a national HR director or an HR director at all at KPFK. So that's a very, very tricky matter, and it depends upon, hopefully, when we have a GM who's single-hatted, in other words, has one role at KPFK, we can do standard, regular employee evaluations, which is really necessary if we want to reduce our payroll by removing staff, which probably could be done and might be able to decrease our expenses significantly. I would suggest that anyone who wants to, the Personnel Committee has been working very hard, spending a lot of hours in a permanent general manager search. So I don't want to overburden the people on the Personnel Committee, but the Personnel Committee, people can be on the Personnel Committee and figure out a way to implement or find HR people who might be able to be willing to give us HR advice pro bono, or work out a way to look through the union contract, streamline employee, employee evaluations. But when we talk about decreasing expenses, it's quite a difficult feat. Also, it should be noted that a few years ago, drastic cuts were done of the staff of WBAI and WPFW. They were cut, in my opinion, way too much, and not done with a lot of intelligence, in my opinion. The total revenue at WBAI within 1 year of those cuts decreased by $1 million. It went from $2.5 million to a little less than $1.5 million. That's a huge, it almost went in half. So when we talk about expense reductions, we have to be very careful that they're done well. You don't want to cut good staff and leave ineffective staff in place. So we have in recent history a bad example of that. But that's all I have to say. I think that this, and it has to be realized that this budget is put together mainly by our business manager, who I think is doing an excellent job, and by our general manager.
Okay, thank you.
We're over by about 10 minutes on this session. I'm about ready to entertain a motion to approve this budget or not. Okay. We have a motion on the floor to approve the proposed budget. And a roll call vote has been requested. Mr. Secretary, if you can take that vote.
Okay. One second, I need to get to... Okay. I'm going to call names here, and as I call your name, please say yay or nay as to whether or not you approve the budget. Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Grace Aaron, yes. Ken Aaron?
Yes.
Ken Aaron, yes. Jonathan Alexander's not here. Marlena Bond?
Abstain.
Marlena Bond, abstain. Roberta Eidman?
Abstain.
Roberta Eidman, abstain. Jamie Gomez?
Pass.
Jamie passes at this point. Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Jan Goodman, yes. Stephen Kaiser?
Yes.
Stephen Kaiser, yes. Doug Kriegel?
Absent.
Absent, sorry. Barbara Marbach?
Yes.
Barbara Marbach, yes. Ishmael Parra?
Yes.
Ishmael Parra, yes. Rezapur? Rezapur, abstain. Stephen Pride?
Abstain.
Stephen Pride, abstain. Myla Reason?
Yes.
Myla Reason passes. Lawrence Reyes?
No.
Lawrence Reyes, no. Mansoor Sabah?
Yes.
Mansoor Sabah, yes. Lance Simmons?
Yes.
Lance Simmons, yes. Fernando Velasquez?
No.
Fernando Velasquez, no. Okay, so we have 8 yes, no. Okay, all right. Let me ask the two people who passed before I announce the results. Jamie Gomez?
I'll say yes.
Yes. Myla Reason?
I'll say yes.
Okay, so the final vote is yes, 10, no, 2, abstain, 4.
Okay, the motion to approve the budget has been approved.
And a motion to increase the expenses, $80,000 legal and $20,000 board elections.
Is anyone opposed to that increase for legal and elections?
I object.
Okay.
For the
following reason. Please, go ahead.
We need to find more economical ways of being able to hold this election. And to allocate money where we know we in debt as it is right now, it's not a wise choice to make. I would even object to legal fees because I don't think that's enough, and but we don't have enough to really allocate for legal fees as well. So I object for those purposes.
Your objection has been noted. So let's go to a vote on this. Can we do a hand vote? We have a roll call vote. Yes, Mr. Parra.
Is this proposal as a plan, or is this an actual effective amount that would be?
This is just added to the budget, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Can you give me the exact wording so I can get it?
It would be to
increase line 68, I think it is. Whoops.
Increase legal by $80,000.
Right.
Add $20,000 for elections.
Right.
I'd like to ask a parliamentarian question, Chair.
We don't have a parliamentarian, but please ask me.
Obama, I'll back with you. Does this require a two-thirds
vote?
Does this require a two-thirds vote since it's altering the budget?
Yes, it does. It does.
Okay.
Yes, it is.